Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante with Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, starting today, our world changes. We get to actually talk about football games.
I know. We've been talking about this for a while now, so I'm excited to talk about it. It's funny watching the game and seeing the game and then actually sitting down and looking at the stats and trying to pick through it. And then you see some pretty cool things that you didn't even realize. Or when you see it and you don't hear the broadcast and then you watch it with the broadcast, you pick up on some other things that you didn't realize. So, yeah, it's really cool. I'm glad. Yesterday was awesome. When I got home and I got to rewatch the game, I think one of the first things that was awesome was seeing the CBS opening aerial view. And yeah, with that music and the Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson coming in, I was like, this is awesome. I love that part.
You know, I'm actually, I don't know which way to say this. I am both very critical of media coverage, but in other ways, I think I'm very accommodating. Now, a lot of people hate Gary Danielson, and I think it's just they hate any analyst.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think Danielson is pretty good. I think Brad Nessler, I think he's very professional. And I think the CBS music, I think their coverage is good. But with that said, I will still blast the media for different coverage things, okay?
For me, it's just more when you hear that music and you hear those two, you know it's big time.
Yes. Right?
That's big time. So I love that, and I thought it was pretty cool. I saw some jokes or some things on social media about it too. But overall, I mean, it was just such a beautiful day. I tell people this all the time that Penn State, especially the first like couple games where it's like 70, you can probably wear a hoodie. You don't need to. You can wear, you know, a tank top if you want. And it's just the energy's great. Everybody's usually wearing a ton of white. The tailgate scene, the way that Penn State is set up and the campus and the tailgate scene, there's nothing like it. And I haven't been everywhere, but I've been to a lot of places. And it was awesome. It was awesome for my kids. They got to come back. And my wife and my kids were like, oh, this is way different than my previous places. Just it doesn't even compare. But I love the first couple games. I love them all, but I love especially the first couple games because it's just the weather's beautiful and it's awesome for Penn State and the whole community here. But yeah, I looked at my watch. I ended up walking 7.5 miles somehow yesterday just in Beaver Stadium. So my legs are tired. I gotta get recovery, but yeah, it was an awesome day, but I'm excited to talk ball.
Come on, you're an athlete. You should be able to handle that, Mike.
I'm an old athlete, and I wasn't that athletic either.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm with you though about the September games, because I know there are some folks who, unless it's that crisp fall weather, you know, that you don't get till October or colder into November, that's, you know, football weather. No, I'll take this September weather. I understand if people don't want to be in 85, 90 degrees. I get that. But this weather, this is perfect. When it's 72 degrees, sun out, it's great tailgating weather, which is just as important as the football weather. So you couldn't have asked for more in Happy Valley than what they got this weekend. Penn State Nittany Lions 46-11 winner. If you're a Penn State fan, you should be happy. If you bet on them, though, not quite as happy.
That's funny because I saw the tail end. You know, I help run the 50-50. So at the end, you know, I'm trying to catch the end of the game. See, because I like the third some of these games, and we can talk about this. But when you know it gets away from them, you get these younger players in, and I love seeing that. See who's going to go in. But I was asking the guy. I see the score. I'm like, I thought I heard the line was one thing, and I was like, holy cow, how does Vegas do this every time and get it so close? But, yeah, But yeah, if you're a Penn State fan, you're happy.
Well, it's actually not to get off on that tangent, but it is very instructive as to why you never want to bet a game when a spread is like 40 some points, okay? Because the end of the game is so random. But in this game, here's the really fascinating part, Mike. The game started, initially the spread was like 45 points, 46 points, something like that. So is this game, but as the game approached, the spread went down. So I think the final spread was 42.5 points, 42.5. And Penn State's up late 46-3. As you said, how do they do this in Vegas?
It's insane.
And it's insane. Penn State's last possession, you know, nothing to lose. Obviously, it helps the team. I'm kind of going backwards here and reviewing the game, looking at the very end. But there's that 4th-and-2. So they're not looking to preserve the lead. I'm thinking, you know, Coach Franklin decides to go for it on 4th-and-2 with all his backups in. I'm guessing that's just, hey, that's a great experience for those backup players to try to perform on a 4th-down play like that. Right, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So of course they don't make it. Nevada has their one drive to score a touchdown. And in fact, the announcers are talking about, I think, Nevada's looking for some moral victories here, which getting into the end zone, even late against the backups. So you go from the spread changing from early in the week to late in the week, affecting the result. Then you have Nevada with this late touchdown with all backups in. That changes the result. That, Mike, is why you never want to bet a game that has an over 40-point spread.
Yeah.
So.
But on the other end, like I said, you got those guys that you know, in close games down on the depth chart that don't get reps a lot. They got a ton of experience at the end of the game. So that I thought that was really good.
Right. Well, let's circle back and talk about the actual game. Let's go from the start.
Yep. Back,
let's go to even before the game starts, Mike. Going into a game like this, and I know the mantra from James Franklin, let's be 1-0 this week. Let's prepare like we always prepare. But it is also a game where you're a heavy favorite. You really expect to win the game. Going into this game, what was it you were looking for? What did you want to see from this team going into this game?
I was just really excited to see them finally play somebody else. You know, I think at the point last week, the guys were just tired of, you know, practicing against each other every time. To answer your question, I was really looking forward to seeing how Coach Kolnicki was going to try to get everybody involved, because I've said it and we've talked about it a bunch, like with how deep every position is, like how is he going to get creative and get everybody touches. I thought it was really neat him coming out of the gate, getting the transfers, the ball. I thought that was pretty cool. I was excited to see the defense and see how Coach Knowles would call the game. Got a good feel for that, you know, the interior guys, both offense, defense. I wanted to see what that looks like. I thought it was really neat to see the rotations on the offensive line, because I think we played, man, I could be wrong, but maybe 9 different offensive linemen. And which is really good. But I wanted to see just, you know, I wanted to see the offense look smooth, Drew look comfortable, and just on all cylinders, everybody running. And I thought everybody looked good on all ends. And even the special teams I thought looked really good. I didn't even realize how many field goals Barker had. So that's awesome to have him as Mr. Consistent. And then, you know, King Mack with that return was awesome to see. So, Just to see everybody come together, I thought was really good.
And I think the most important thing when you have my take on it prior to the game was come out of it healthy.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, it's like that's one of the things that I noticed is like Drew, I'm sure Coach is going to talk to him today about it. Like, hey, we could probably take a couple of those hits off you, man. Like, let's be a little careful.
Well, when you're in a game, it's got to be tough to say, you know, I should just throw it away here, as opposed to I'll try to pick up yardage on my own. And I know this is probably the worst part of it, but as a fan, it's my favorite part. He doesn't look to avoid contact. He looks to run people over.
Yeah, he's got. I think they'll coach him up on that because it just takes the wrong hit, wrong angle. You know, bad luck. Knock on wood. Sometimes that you just never know. So why not just eliminate that possibility and just like slide or run out of bounds or something?
Yeah, something other than taking the big hit. I also the other part to this, which is probably stating the obvious, is this is an opportunity to get a lot of people in. And we started the show backwards talking about the end of the game and how many folks were in. But I was I really enjoyed seeing that there was seemed to be a lot of rotation early. You know, when I find myself, wait a minute, who's that? You know, and I'd look up a number to make sure I knew. You know, so guys like Kenny Wosley and Jalen Harvey, I noticed like in the first possession, Mike.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of guys got reps, not just garbage time, but early in the game.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was pretty cool to see Chaz Coleman, the true freshman, that, you know, after camp, he was kind of the big hype. You know, he's in there in the first quarter. Yvonne, you know, freshman, he was in the second quarter. Seeing all those guys, I thought was pretty cool. I thought seeing Ty Blanding, I think Alonzo Ford doesn't get talked enough about because it's easy to look at Denai and Zane and say, you know, they're going to get a lot of the hype. But that guy, like, to me, is a huge part of what we do. And he was just very solid. From what I saw. And I thought Amari Campbell for his first game was really solid because I still didn't really have a feel for him, but I thought he was really good, solid. You know, he was the one that on that that first forced fumble by Denai, he stuck that player in the hole. And then Denai was able to come in and make a great play. But yeah, it's really cool to see all those players. Even Darius Dixon had a big hit on special teams. I thought that was good. What's really cool is like seeing the special teams guys. All right, who's the core guys that you're going to see on every special team? Because that's a huge part of the game, right? It's just as important as the other ones. And that's another thing that I think doesn't get talked enough about is Coach Stig and what he does with the special teams. Like, we're really lucky, I guess you could say. Like, he's almost like underrated. He doesn't get talked enough about. But I thought the special teams was really good.
Oh, it's very important. And that's the way to get these, say, even true freshmen – up to speed playing that way. All right, that's going to be it for quarter number one. Lots more to talk about with this game when we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director over at HVU. This is quarter number two of our show, and we're getting the opportunity to talk about actual football. Penn State over Nevada, 46-11 over the weekend. Perfect weather in Happy Valley. Some great stuff. Mike, we wrapped up quarter number one. We were talking a little bit about special teams, some of the young players getting to play, some of the names we don't often hear. And I said earlier about I go back and forth between, I'm okay with media, and then I'm critical. One of the things that I'm critical about, I hate, is I think oftentimes they decide before the game who the star of the game is going to be. And they just keep talking about that guy no matter what. So
for
Penn State, Dani Dennis' son had a great game. He did. But I swear to God, he'd run onto the field and they'd tell you how great he was. Did you see the way he ran onto the field? You know?
Yeah. And, no, you're 100% right on that. The bigger broadcasts, they definitely do that. They kind of stumble sometimes over their feet. They thought that King Mac run was
Khalil Dinkins.
You know, and it took them way too long to figure that one out.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, they should know that King Mac is a potential return guy and be prepared for that. The one that struck me was it was great to see Zane Durant get an interception. I love when defensive linemen, especially a defensive tackle, gets an interception. However, the real player on that game, I think it was Xavier Gilliam, was the one who got the pressure on the quarterback. He's the one who made that play.
I can't believe you brought that up. Yeah, I thought – because that's what I kept saying last night when I watched the rerun. I said, they're not talking about him at all. They're not talking about – he's the one that made that play. But, yeah, 100%. But, and also on the other end, I thought it was really athletic from Zane to catch that ball. Because that was a hard ball. That was low, you know, for a bigger guy. Like, that's an athletic play.
To get down and get it.
Yeah, 100%.
No doubt. But Zane Durant's name was on their to talk about list.
But rightfully so. Like those guys, those two guys did play their ass off. But yeah, sorry for swearing.
I think our listeners could handle it.
They did.
I'm betting the majority of them have used that word before too. So let's talk about that. The players a little bit, some of those individuals. Deny Dennis Sutton and yes, they emphasize them because they should, but he did earn that during the game. That's what's great about having a quality defensive end is if you – and that's probably one of my favorite positions, Mike, to isolate on. And if you watched an Dani Dennis Sutton every play, you saw something pretty special almost every play.
Almost every play. And, Jim, that's funny. We didn't even talk about a lot of these stuff, and I'm thinking the same stuff. You know, like I had written down, like what's really impressive about him. Obviously, he's great looking guy, right? Physical, big. His get off is unbelievable. His motor is great. His bend is great. He's just all around. But I'm watching him when he's not when the ball's on the other side. Like he was a nightmare for those tackles, an absolute nightmare. And I like what Coach Knowles is doing with him. You know, with his hand on the dirt, or he's kind of 2-point stance. It's pretty cool, but yeah, he's all around and like, yes, we knew he was good, right? Based off that run he did, in the playoffs last year. But he absolutely definitely is the real deal to me. He's going to be a nightmare for everybody. We're lucky to have, Deny, because what he showed yesterday was, I mean, he's going to really help his stock, if he continues to play like that.
And I realize who the competition is. It's a little different, going to be a little different when you go up against Oregon and Ohio State. But that athleticism, that speed, that making that turn, that bend, you know, that will carry. I truly believe.
100%. And I seriously felt bad for those tackles. He looked helpless.
Well, I'm glad you said, because that's the expression that I've often used, like, with Abdul Carter, that you actually started to feel bad for the offensive tackle because, you know, here's typically biggest guy on the field are those tackles, and they don't have a prayer against the speed rush.
No, you're right.
We don't have a prayer. But I advise fans in watching the game, just check out Dani Dennis Sutton. You won't be disappointed. And like you said, Mike, there's plays that maybe don't even go his way. He's not part of the play. But he is in the fact that he beats somebody one-on-one. It forces the offense to go the other way, to go away from him. And one of my favorite guys to watch that was a few years ago, Chop Robinson was one of my favorite players, because I would isolate on him, and you knew you would see – he would beat his guy typically every play whether he was part of the rest of the play or not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like I said, like those, the scouts are going to be looking at that stuff too, right? Like that, that they look at that big time because it tells you what kind of player he is. You know, is he, you know, you just want to be a, you know, a third down specialist or just, you know, like he, Danai's just showing that, you know, he worked on his game skill set and he wants to be an overall total package. And that's what he looks like right now. Yes. Even though it was Nevada, I mean, those guys train too. They're good football players, you know? So like what he was doing to them, he shouldn't be, normal people can't make people look like that every play.
Speaking of Nevada a little bit, I was impressed with their coach. The couple things that they did successfully shorten that game.
Mm-hmm.
That was a smart thing to do. The other thing is, boy, if you're an underdog team, have a mobile quarterback. Have a guy who could make a third down conversion on his own. So yeah. If I were a team, say, you know, a Northwestern or a Rutgers or somebody, say, the bottom half of a conference, get me a mobile quarterback. That can drive defenses crazy.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because you got to account for that. Now, that's a huge element in your game planning for that week. But, yeah, I was kind of impressed with Purdy. I thought he was pretty good. I didn't realize he was kind of that transfer portal guy to previous stops. But, yeah, I thought he looked solid. He looked like he wasn't, you know, scared of the moment or anything like that. Like, I think, you know, Nevada, and they got a good quarterback. And I didn't realize Nate Burleson was there until the broadcast. So I thought that was pretty cool. That makes me feel old now that he's playing. But, yeah.
Well, wait till you get my age, Mike, when it's like third generation guys at that point.
Well, the other thing, too, about, you know, the opening game is you realize how old you get every year because you see all these students and you're like, what is going on? Like, it is just – it's another world, and they look younger and younger every single day. It's just it makes you realize how old you're getting.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you have a couple young ones, Mike. You know what? It's not too far away. You're going to be sending them off to college. Then you're really going
to. I don't want my daughter to go to college. She needs to stay homeschooled.
Going to keep her locked up till she's 40.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. All right, let's switch over to this Penn State offense. You mentioned early on, and I thought it was great to see Andy Kotelnicki with this offense. And I just wrote myself some notes early on with the things he was doing, where sometimes three wide receivers, sometimes two running backs, sometimes two or three tight ends, sometimes six offensive linemen.
I think there were seven or eight at one point. I think there were seven linemen in there.
Yeah. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, that's tough. And that, like, what he brought it up in the shows previous about, all right, how do you prepare? What's installation look like? Game planning look like? Well, Coach Kotelnicki basically had a plan and say, man, I'm going to throw out a bunch of different things so people don't know exactly what our – everybody knows we're going to want to run the ball right with our offensive linemen and our two running backs, but, like – He threw out all kinds of stuff, especially with now the new toys that we have with Trevor Pena and Kyron. Trevor Pena to me was really surprising. It's weird to say surprising because we obviously know he was good, but he's kind of I think he's a little under the radar because we don't talk about him enough. But he to me yesterday showed that he's like sneaky versatile and you can do all. He's like a gadget player. Like he can do it all, the end around, he can do the punt returns, you know, he can do the screen game, he can hit you over the top for the home runs, and he's, like, really smooth. I don't know if you can catch this, but, like, with it, you just see some receivers that just have natural hands, and it's just – it looks easy. And to me, that's Trevor Pena. Like, he is smooth out there. He has more wiggle than I initially thought, like, very, very elusive. Like, so – Trevor Pena it could have a huge year coming, more so than I thought before I watched him yesterday.
Well, I really and you and I talked about this. Okay, how do you start this game? What do you try to establish? And my take was get the ball to these new guys. It's good for them. It's good for the quarterback. It's good for the fans to see it. But what impressed me I thought the biggest criticism of the prior receivers was not getting themselves open. So when you use the word wiggle, and maybe you were talking about after catching the ball, but watching Pena get himself open a couple times. And when you see, you saw on the initial play, you saw the pass to him. Oh, he's open. But then on the replay, when they isolate on him and you see the move he made to get open, Mike, that was what impressed me the most.
Yeah, you could say the same for Kyron Hudson, too. I think they're just, they have a good feel for the game. And what I mean that is, like, when, like, say they have like a 10-yard hook route or something, they know where to find that zone in between defenders. They just have a good feel, right? They know when to make a cutback, when they should make a cutback. They're just very smart players. They're football players. And I thought that was pretty cool. Coach Golnick coming out of the gate, getting the ball to the two new receivers. So I'm sure the fans love to see that. And then, you know, Drew's Drew, but like, I guess we are kind of taking for granted. Like, he had a great game. I, after looking at the numbers, I'm like, that is a very solid game. And, you know, now with the additions of Trevor and Kyron and some of these other receivers, like, it's, I don't see why it would slow down.
Right. And here's a couple of those numbers that you were alluding to. And I'd love to see these numbers. Trevor Pena was targeted eight times, Mike, 7 receptions.
Yeah.
Kyron Hudson, well, his numbers fell short of that. He was targeted 8 times and only had 6 receptions.
Should have been 7. I know he's kicking himself on that slant route in that red zone where he should have had another touchdown. It was a little bit behind him, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he thought we'd get that. But when we come back, we're going to talk about those receivers a little bit more. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. I'm Jim. He's Mike. Our show's brought to you by Happy Valley United. Mike, and we were just talking between segments how much fun it is to be talking about the actual game, the individual players. And we were talking about the receivers. And I want to remind our listeners, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about taking your son to a practice. Now, you got yourself in trouble with your daughter, mind you, but you told a story about your son at practice, seeing Kyron Hudson make a play, the body control and all that. What was great is, you sent me the video last night of the play, Kyron Hudson along the sidelines, and the announcers didn't think it was a catch, okay, because he was so close to the sideline. Did he get control? That, to me, was the play that I said, okay, Kyron Hudson's going to be a real playmaker here.
Yeah, that was funny because on the broadcast, they kept saying that word, right, or those words, body control, right? That is amazing, body control. So I was like, oh, I got to send this to the gym because that's him. And you know what else, watching him yesterday, I don't know if anybody's going to agree with me on this, but I was here in 15 to 17 when I got to be around Chris Godwin, and he kind of reminds me of Chris. I don't know if he has the juice as far as the speed that of Chris, but I think they're pretty similar. Like, they're just very good body control, like the total package to me. So yeah, it was pretty cool seeing Kyren make that play. I thought that ball was really good too. That was a really good ball by Drew. So yeah, just Kyren Hudson is going to be a problem for us, or a problem for other teams.
And you brought up a good point with Drew Aller. I think there's something to this. Tyler Warren was an all-world player, okay? If I'm a quarterback, I'm going to look for Tyler Warren because I know he can make plays for me. But I always wondered, you know, is there a lack of confidence in the other receivers? It's not that kind of play, the play that makes a Drew Aller or any quarterback say, you know what, I'm going that way because I know that guy could make plays for me.
Yeah, but I think you have that all around now, right? You have three to four tight ends that are like that. Yeah, and to Rapalier, I thought it was great seeing him out there. My first time actually seeing him play, and he's going to be sneaky because he didn't play last year, so a lot of people don't talk about him, but he's a total package as a tight end, I think. And Coach Franklin, I think, you know, he after seeing the stats in his post-game conference, he talked about how, you know, we have to get the ball to the tight ends a little bit more. But hell, that's hard, man. Like, you got to get the ball to all those guys, plus your two running backs, plus Trevor, plus Kyren, plus Tysier, plus Liam Clifford, plus like, that's tough. That is tough.
And meanwhile, you have two of the best running backs in the country.
I
really liked, Mike, that I'm glad you brought it up. In the post-game press conference, James Franklin talked about wanting to get everybody a touch because it stood out to me late in the game, what's Khalil Dinkins even doing in the game late at that point? And James addressed that. Yeah. I wanted to get everybody the ball, get everybody a touch there. Yep. And he said, okay, we got him the touch, good. He can now come out of the game. But it also leads to, Mike, something that I've noticed with this team over the last couple of years. I mentioned earlier, Nevada wanted to slow down the game. Okay, you know, they took the clock down. But I get the feeling, it feels like Penn State, James Franklin, they look to be so efficient. They end up with these long drives, just keep running the ball for 5 yards at a time.
Yeah.
The point I'm getting to, though, is when he got an opportunity for a two-minute offense late in the game, and the announcers called us, and I think it was definitely the case, James Franklin was almost like coaching to get the opportunity to run the two-minute offense late. Drew Aller, I feel, is so good in that two-minute offense. I wish, Mike, sometimes just – on a normal possession, we just, hey, let's just run our two-minute offense and let Drew have at it.
Yeah, I mean, how lucky are we to have a quarterback that is like that going year two with a coordinator like Colt Nicky and with somebody like Coach Franklin and the time management piece like that? It's a recipe for success, right? And he's going to be in that position at some point this year where he's going to have to execute, right? So, yeah, Coach Franklin sees that, understands that. So he wants as many game opportunities as possible. So why not, you know, try to have that, you know, in this game? And that's what makes these games great for us. Like, you know, yes, you know, you respect your opponent, but if you take care of business, you should beat them handily. And now, but that presents all these different opportunities for young players to play, for all these game situations, right? That is huge for us.
Well, also, but with Penn State, the way it was playing, the way Nevada plays, Penn State had a grand total of 11 possessions in this game, and the last one was just one play kneel down. So, in essence, it was like only 10 possessions, and the first 9 possessions they scored. Okay, mm-hmm. The punter did not get the punter was the one guy who didn't get on the field.
Yeah. It's a good day.
Yes, that's a good day when that happens. And it was good to see the efficiency of the field goal kicker, 4 for 4. But I also think if there's one place you had to look at and say, We don't necessarily want to settle for field goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's stuff that they'll be able to clean up and look at. But I wouldn't look too much into the red zone issues. It's, you know, just one of the things that we, you know, they'll be able to look at today, see where they made the mistakes and fell short, and they'll get cleaned up, which is great. Right. Like, at least it was versus Nevada. Right. And wasn't versus, you know, a Big Ten opponent. So, yeah, they'll get that cleaned up. And, I mean, think about all the players that we're talking about, on, especially on the offensive side. Like, we have enough weapons. We just need to execute better. That's all.
Well, I also got – James Franklin seemed to allude to this, and I'm not sure he worded it exactly how he wanted to. The word sounded like, oh, I wasn't trying to convert. You know, we wanted to see about the field goal process, but he was kidding. I get the feeling what he was doing, though, was he wasn't necessarily calling the game in a way that this is maximizing the number of points is not what we're looking to do here. We have, obviously, we want to win, but there's other things going on here. We're trying to get the ball in the hands of every weapon. We want to get that kind of experience going. So there was more going on than just strictly, hey, I want to put up 70 points in this game.
Oh, yeah. You know what? His, like, temperament and demeanor at the post-game conference, he seemed like, to me, like that – I think he was happy with the game based on, like – and usually, like, you don't get that from coaches, especially Coach Franklin. But that's the feeling I got, that, you know, we were really efficient – on all three areas. You know, obviously there's little things that you can nitpick. You can do that every game, but for a first game, I think he's pretty happy with how efficient we were.
I do from
all angles. Like, think about the game day operation stuff. I think, you know, talking to some people, I heard it went really good yesterday with all the things going on with new construction, with new staff members, and, you know, just everything. Like, first games, usually, you know, there's always hiccups first game in every different area, right? Time management, the coaching, to the operations of, but for the most part, it seemed like it was a really good day.
I think so. And sticking with on the field, I think a lot of it is a veteran coaching staff now. Yeah, I know Jim Knowles has come in new, but a lot of the other guys are in place. I found it interesting because this is just typical when you get online and get into social media and all. The mixed reaction to James Franklin being upset at the end of the game, because the officials, they did not cover themselves in glory in this game, the officials, okay? Yeah. Nick Singleton, you know, 3 feet, 5 feet into the end zone, and they have to go to replay to determine that he was in the end zone. Yeah. But at the end of the game, Ethan Grunkmeyer's in, and at first James seemed upset with him, like, snap the ball, just go do it. And he's like, the officials didn't let me. They held me back. They let the play clock run out, and the officials wouldn't let me go to the line of scrimmage. Some people are like, you know, what's James Franklin doing? You know, it's the last seconds of a 30-some point game. Why is he getting upset? But I think that coaching from the start to the end, supporting your players, and letting the officials know you can't get away with this, I think that so shows consistency and coaching to the process.
Yeah, I mean, that's who he is. I would hate to be a referee at a Coach Franklin game. I think, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, in the best way, because he's on it. He could probably be a ref. Like, he's that smart. So he knows the rules. So if you mess up, he's going to call you out on it, right? And at least it was in a blowout and not a close game, right? So hopefully maybe he addresses this and say that referee is the same ref we get in one of our big games down the line. All right, well, that ref knows he screwed up with Coach Franklin, and Coach Franklin is on it. Like, he's not gonna forget about a rule. So I think that ups their game a little bit too, especially in the future. So that's really kind of sending a message for the future games, not just that moment, in my opinion. And that's kind of Coach Franklin, and that's why he's really good.
Yes, and I don't have any problem at all with pointing that out. Plus, if you're those players like Ethan Grunkmeyer at that point, I want to know the coach has my back, that it's not shrugged off. He's not getting mad at or blaming me for this, that he that I'm able to say to him, hey, look, coach, this is what happened, what they were doing, and he's going to have my support. You know, next year it could be Ethan Grunkmeyer starting the game and being in a big game at a big moment. He wants to know his coach is taking care of him.
Yep.
And so, anyway, I know some people had some issues with it. I absolutely did not. All right.
You
know,
that's why you got to take, like, for social media, you got to be careful what you look at. I mean, not be careful, but it's just such a toxic place. And you know what? Drew Allar was at the quarterback club this week with Zane and Deuce.
I tell you what, I'm going to interrupt you there, Mike, because we're out of time. Let's start with that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United at quarter number four of our show. Mike, I always say how fast our shows go. This one is just flying by. I think we could do about a four-hour show today.
Good.
when we got a game to talk about. In fact, I interrupted you at the end of the third quarter. You were ready to talk about a story about Drew Allar at the quarterback club.
Yeah, just the social media world, and not to get too much in like how I feel about social media and stuff, but – like, I thought it was really impressive listening to Drew talk to that group the past week. Somebody asked him about preparation, social media, stuff like that, how he handles it. And I thought it was really cool of him and a mature thing for him to say that he didn't handle it well the first year. He was on there, and it kind of affected him a little bit. So he realized that, so he got rid of it. He's not on there like that. So – I thought that was really cool for him to say that, because like you got to be careful going on there because it's not real, right? Like it's not real as some people will say. But the fact that you have a quarterback that is, you know, such a big name, but he handles his business like that says a lot about Drew.
It does, and it shows a sense of maturity. By the way, I am still working on that. I'm 65 years old, and I'm working on that part of it. And the reason why I did this comparison is, and people have been, I haven't been doing this my whole life, being in the media. So we would get responses coming in, and we would get so many compliments. And then that one guy would come send me a complaint about our show. And I would dwell on that for a week, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. I'll get sensitive to like negativity or stuff. So like I just try to stay off of it. I don't want to be some type of personality on social media because that just invites, you know, those type of people that I just don't really care to have in my life.
A quick one. We always joke about having a face for radio. Okay.
Yeah.
And we joked about it. The next week, I got someone send in how lousy my voice is.
No, that's unbelievable.
So it you can't win, and I would take that in. I would still be offended by it. So I had to learn. So I imagine for James Franklin, all the slings and arrows he gets. But anyway, let's talk about a couple more individual players and some more questions I have for you. I know people want to talk about Cam Wallace hurdling the defender.
That was great.
It was. But he's got some juice to him, and you used the word wiggle.
Yeah.
He's got some quicks and some wiggle to him, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He definitely does. I'm excited to see what he does, how he – like, I had no part of his recruiting process. So, like, coming in, he was one of the newer players that I really didn't know much about. And then, you know, with him and the learning all of the injuries, I've never heard of an injury pass like him. And then for him to come back yesterday and do that, holy cow, like, that is unbelievable. that is really cool, and that's really exciting for the depth of that room, right? Because obviously we have our two great running backs, but they're gone next year, you know. So that's really promising to see that.
And you know, running back is one of those positions, just like offensive line. Boy, if you could go through a whole season with both those running backs healthy, you're pretty fortunate. There's a pretty good chance someone's going to get nicked up, miss a game or two. It's good to know there's the next guy up who is ready to play.
Yeah.
The other guy, speaking of backups, Ethan Grunkmeyer came in, and he engineered a very long drive and looked pretty good doing that. Yeah, got to make the coaches feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, you know, and I thought, you know, Coach Franklin was, you know, went public about that number two competition because it's week to week, right? As of last week, that's what he said, that a competition is going to be week to week. So it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Franklin and staff moves forward to next week, especially with Grunk, you know, having that great drive and scoring his first touchdown. I sent him a text last night congratulating him. I was happy to see that for him.
Yeah, that's got to be so satisfying as a young guy, his first real time on the field, able to take the possession for, you know, the entire series, very long drive.
Because Gronk, I mean, he has all the tools to be really special. You know, even Coach brought it up last week about his arm. Like, he has a stronger arm than Drew, and that's saying a lot, right? Because Drew's a first rounder, so he has that as well as the athleticism. As you guys saw, that like he has some juice when he wants to pull the ball down and run, and as you talked about earlier in the show, that is an issue for coordinators if you have that with your quarterback.
Well, also what I like to see is he got the touchdown late, and you could see at the end of the run he smelled the end zone, Mike. He smelled it. It was like, you know, I might not get the call on the next play. I better not come up short here.
Yeah. And you know what's cool? Seeing all those players come in at the end, and then all of the starters and the entire team just is like really happy for all those players playing, and, you know, happy to see Gronk score. Like, I think that says a lot about this team. Because I've been lucky to have been around them for a little bit now. This team's really close. Like, they, and it's not fake. All around, like, this team, like, truly, I think, loves each other and likes each other and likes playing with each other. So I think it's a really good sign. Yesterday was a great game, kind of to bring them together even more. I'm really excited moving forward.
And you and I have talked about this before. I believe there is a culture here that James Franklin has cultivated where these are good guys. These are not selfish players. So they share in the excitement with each other. I think, a story that's been going on for 4 years now is Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and how the two of them are. I mean, they are set up in a situation where they could be very competitive in a negative way with each other, looking for more carries. And it's also a tribute to I used to joke last year, Mike, about how the coaching staff does such a good job of splitting the carries between these two guys. And sure enough, those two running backs had 16 carries between them. Each one had 8 carries. it's like somebody is watching. Okay, yeah, you know, let's make sure they get approximately the same number of carries every game.
Yeah, I don't know for sure if that is what happened here, but I bet that that's probably the case. Like, Coach had basically a tally mark for X amount of players to make sure they get their touches, so they stay fresh, they get some experience, you know, get their legs underneath them. Yeah, so that's definitely a thing coaches do. I don't know if Coach Franklin staff did that, but it kind of seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And I think you're able to do that in this situation where, you know, it's not like, well, do I need to play a lesser player to make them feel equivalent? No, you know, hey, you got a really good player or a really good player that you're putting out there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. But I did want to ask you about it, and James did address this a bit. Neither one of the running backs had a really big explosive play. I think 10, 11 yards was about their largest run. They were kind of bottled up. What did you see from Nevada? It looked like they were saying, we're not going to let them have a big play.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job defensively, just like not giving up the big play and just like shortening the game, right? That definitely was probably something that they didn't want, you know, a bunch of, you know, guys getting hit over the top and scoring these long, big passes. Like, I thought they did a good job just all around. But I thought, to me, you know, after watching the highlights, I thought the running backs looked really good, like well-rounded. They look, you know, tough. Like, every down, both are obviously look like every down backs, just really solid. And what they did, you saw them, they were, you know, under center, shotgun. There was all kinds of different kind of formations. Like, I think for the first game, they looked really good. And the stats can be deceiving a little bit just because, you know, you don't see a ton of big numbers. But to me, I thought what I saw was really good.
Well, it's also it's such a small sample size. Again, each one of them had eight carries. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, Cam Wallace and Corey Smith each had five carries, okay? So, yeah. You know, when your starters and your superstars only get eight and the backups are getting that many carries, that tells you how this game went.
Yeah, that's tough for the next opponent, right? They don't know what the heck you're going to do.
Yeah, there's so many different weapons. Let me just ask you, in with a couple minutes we have left, what did you see from Jim Knowles in his first game as coordinator?
Well, he's got a ton of good players all around, right? We've talked about it, from the D-line to the second layer to the defensive backs. Like, he has really good players. I liked what he did with the defensive line and all the movements that he did. I think it's going to be really tough for defenses to match our athleticism when it comes to the defensive front. All right. And then you saw the defensive backs and the linebackers really do a good job holding the line. But I like what Jim did. You know, what he gave up, what, seven, how many points did we give up? 10?
Well, they went for the two pointer.
They still 11.
But that last touchdown was essentially in garbage time.
But I thought the team played with a high motor, big energy. All of the players, even the defensive backs, I thought they were coming down and smacking guys and looked really physical. I thought, you know, both sides, all three phases looked really good.
Yeah, but you got to work on that punting game, Mike.
Yeah, I know. But it'll be good if we don't need to punt for a while.
Riley Thompson's probably on the sideline saying, hey, you're trying to get everybody involved.
That's true. What about me? That's true.
Next week, we might see Riley Thompson line up at wide receiver just so he could get some game action. Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, we've got 30 seconds left. This is an opportunity. One last thought about game number one.
I thought this game was really good. Like I said, I think Coach Franklin, based off his post-game conference, was pretty happy. I think, you know, I'm looking at like some of the game day operations, his game day management, like he has Andy Frank and Kevin Thurlkill and all those guys behind him, like that whole operation, like seeing like the, you know, the personnel, the change, all the different elements, I thought from offense, defense, special teams, I thought was really efficient, got a lot of good work, got a lot of good situations that are going to help us down the line, got a lot of good young players, reps, that's going to help us down the line. So win-win for Penn State yesterday.
A great week one. And how about next week we do this again, Mike?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.